Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Now time for a very hollow edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass into your friends and which games to simply hop on that zip line and go right on by. I am Corey. I'm joined by the hollow fighter himself. That doesn't make any sense. Basher.
Yeah, because they're not called hollows. I'd be fighting the enemy of the Drake.
Enemy of the Drake. That's what we're here to talk about today, Drake's Hollow. But before that,
Drake singular Hollow. Guy, come on.
I can't do it.
There's only one Drake.
I can't do it.
There's not multiple Drakes.
Nathan Drake?
No,
Tom Holland. Tom Holland is... Before we talk about not Nathan Drake, why not shoot us a voicemail? If you're listening to this right now, you're listening to this and you're just like, you know what? These guys are kind of cool.
This guy doesn't know what game's talking about. He keeps calling it Drake, and it's called Drake Singular. I should talk to him about that.
You should. You can shoot us a voicemail, 574-651-9256, or shoot us a text message. We'll read it on the air. We're going to talk about it. We'll be like, hey, this person had this to say, and then we'll talk about it. It's what you do. It's called interacting with your audience. That is you, the audience. Don't you want to interact with us? 574-651-925. Pull out your phone. I didn't finish that. 574-651-9256. I got a little excited.
You know, they'll figure it out. They got enough pieces. It's like a game within a game.
I'm a little delirious, okay? Drake's Hollow. Here's the details. Developed by the Molasses Flood, which is also named also known for the Flame in the Flood, which I have not played. I do not know much about that game. Regularly priced at $29.99. I didn't know what to write down other than action-adventure. Oh my gosh, I can't do it. Action-adventure open-world game. It's the only thing I could come up with. It's available on PC.
You forgot the survival game.
Survival, right? That would... maybe, we'll talk about it. Available on PC, Xbox Series X and S, and Xbox One. Could not find out what the Series X and S has over the Xbox One. I only played it on the Series X, and it ran fine, I guess. It looked pretty nice. So I'm guessing it's 4K. Maybe it's 30 frames versus 60 frames. Not entirely sure. There's crossplay between PC and Xbox. Cloud saves as well. And I could not really find any concrete details on DLC for it. So I'm going to guess there's not any, but I'm not entirely sure. So Drake Hollow. Let's talk about it.
This game, I will admit, pretty surprising for me.
In a good or bad
way? We're about to find out, aren't we? This is the beginning of the show. We'll know this by the end. So I saw this on the front page because you gave me the honor of picking the game this week. I rarely get that honor. Usually you just play a game and tell me to play it afterwards, and I have to suffer through it.
Let's not pretend that you don't prefer that, but whatever.
I will pretend I don't prefer that, actually, on the air here. But this game, it looked new, it looked cute, and it looked like not a shoot 'em up, bang, bang, racing thing. So I'm like, let me give it a shot. Went in, and I was pleasantly surprised that this is I would call it a survival game, in which you play a character, you create your own character with some basic tools there, and you go around and you have to protect the Drake. Those are your little Pokemon type creatures that give you all types of buffs and positive good things in the game, items and whatnot that gift you things for free if you treat them well and they're nice and happy. So you have to give them food, you give them drinks, you have to give them water, you have to give them sleeping. You also have to give them protection. So you're building an entire, well, not entire, but a good sized village for these Drake to live and grow in. And then your job is to keep them safe as they help you also go on to the next area, and you rinse and repeat. I found it to be a very entertaining game loop.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of that Viva Pinata in it as you unlock new things, yeah. And you know, you get new Drakes, and I don't want to say that you progress, but you getting new Drakes is part of the goal and part of the fun kind of thing. You know, you want to see what new buffs
Drake
and stuff
Drake singular,
and it's very much got a Viva Pinata vibe, but it also it's got a little bit of that Ubisoft open world in it of like, mm-hmm. you go to a thing and you stand on it and it's like, here's the rest of the game. And I'm like, oh, that's how we're going to play this. Okay. All right. That's fine, I guess. But it's also got a little bit of the Astroneer in it. You know, you're charting your path as you go. And the farther that you go, the quicker you can sort of get back to where you were. It's not a traditional sort of fast travel system, although you can sort of do that. But the idea is as you're going, you got these little pillars that you make these grind cables on, and then you can sort of kind of go back and forth between your home base and where you were to sort of kind of always getting a little bit further. You know, you've got your stick or your axe that you find in this random house, and you got to fight off the blight and the little creatures that are with the blight, and you got to fight
heartless.
Them. The heartless. they're more heartless than nobody, that's for sure. And yeah, so like you said, it's got a gameplay loop to it. But I guess the question for that is you know, I think we're on two different sides of the fence on this one. Two different sides of the hollow. And
ooh, like you did there.
I don't know if I like this game. I want to like this game, but I don't know if I do. And my problem stems from I'm not a huge fan of the grinding system, and I'm not a huge fan of the one thing about the Drake that drive me nuts is that they can just sort of go away. like if you don't go fast enough and give them, you know, a bed or some food or entertainment, there's literally an entertainment bar, then they're just like, no, I'm gonna go back in the ground, and you kind of have to start over with that particular Drake.
That's your problem because you didn't make a pinball machine or two or three.
I did though. Like, but
did you?
It is a resource driven game, and you can run out of resources. And I ran out of stuff to build the entertainment part of it. And I went to go out and get more, but I also didn't. They don't explain the grinding system very well. You basically had to explain that to me. It's possible that I just missed it entirely. Once I found
that,
no,
they didn't explain it.
Say that again.
No, they just don't explain it very well.
Oh, there you go. And once I figured that out, it helped. But there were so many instances where I found myself struggling to find that balance between going out and scourging and finding something new and finding new places and new materials and destroying the giant vine things to purge the island of the blight. And but it's like, oh, but I need to go back and make sure that my Drake is not bored. So let me stop what I'm doing and run my happy butt all the way back. And okay, are you happy? No? Okay, here's a ball. All right, now shut up and let me go do my thing. Like, I found it kind of annoying.
You're not wrong. That is part of the gameplay loop. Just keeping these Drake happy, fed and watered. And it can be annoying. And I imagine that's by design, you know, like for it to be problematic, if you will. I will say I got to a point where things sort of clicked for me, especially with the grinding aspect, because the way you traverse around this game is, as you alluded to, is you kind of build these pillars. Tethers, if you will. Yeah, these pillars, these tethers, whatever you may call them. And then you can grind on them, like Tony Hawk style. If you connect these same pillars that you grind on to your main base and then connect those across the land to different supply trucks, you then have to collect less things over time. And the bigger your drakes get, the more entertainment they need, the more food they need, the more sleeping quarters they need, and honestly, the more protection they need. And if you're looking for resources, kind of by the handful, is going to get over. It's going to get overbearing. If you can really get that supply system down, it'll ease a lot of the pain, is what I found. So like that gameplay loop got pretty much hooked me fairly quickly. That, and I'm a sucker for anything Viva Pinata-ish. If I'm taking care of little cute creatures in a video game, I'm most likely in. I do have an issue that you touched upon where you said you kind of go to new places to get new things. That's sort of my biggest issue, and it was my issue with Astroneer as well. The new part isn't new enough. When you get to the new areas, you don't get kind of new resources. You don't look for new items per se. It's really just upgrading your base so you can build newer equipment. And the newer equipment really serves as a way to consolidate. So instead of having 17 yoga balls around, you have 3 ping pong tables. And that's kind of how the progression with that goes. And I was really kind of hoping for, after my first 2 or 3 new areas, I was really hoping to get a sense of, whoa, what is this? Like, so almost like maybe an ice level type thing or water level type thing or something. But it's really just a new randomly procedured map layout.
Yeah, that was kind of the other thing that I noticed. Like when you do the Ubisoft Tower thing and you go up to one and it sort of unveils new islands, you're just kind of like, all right. So I go to these and it's you know there's things to do on them, but like you said, there's not new things to do. You're sort of just doing the same thing over and over. So I sort of left that. I don't want to say I left that because that's not fair. I found myself in a loop that kind of felt like the, you know, Jack of all trades, master of none. Like it's not a great survival game. It's not a great Viva Pinata. You know, it's not a great tower defense. Like it does all these things, and I think there's something there, but it just needs more of something, or it needs to be betterly, more fine tuned, or something. I just, nothing really grabbed me, but I don't. I'm kind of the opposite in that survival mechanics are usually a quick turn off for me of just like, no, I don't want to do this. I just don't want to do this. And I don't want to keep building the stupid beds over and over and over. Why can't I just build it once kind of thing? I don't like having I got to fill this pot full of food and it's always going down faster than I can fill it up kind of thing. I guess I prefer more the other way of, you know, like building a roller coaster tycoon of just like I'm building the jar and it's forever full, but if I need to build more jars because I have more Drake coming, just let me build more jars, if that makes sense. I don't have to keep filling up the one that I have. And so maybe that's what turned me off, but I don't know, it did not grab me. It sounds like the same way it grabbed you. So, but again, this isn't my type, so I'm going to have to kind of defer to your judgment on this one.
I mean, that's where the challenge kind of kicked in for me. And that's where it, I found the most fun in this game, honestly, when things went. I found the most fun in your frustration, essentially, you know, where it's like, there's too much to do here. This, like, you're asking me to do too many things, to build too many things. And I reached peak funness, if you will, when I had several Drake in the village area there, and I just had old, outdated equipment, and it's like instead of having three or four newer water pumps, I had way too many water wells. I was running out of resources because I just didn't consolidate my resources enough. I wasn't breaking things down, breaking things down and building newer equipment and building newer things. And that kind of frustration, if you will, made me like the game more. Not me like the game more, but made me appreciate the gameplay loop a bit more, because that's where the challenge came in for me, and that's where I wanted to overcome that challenge. So I agree 100% with what you said, because this is essentially these type of games to the T. It doesn't really knock one thing out of the park. It just does a lot of neat things in a neat way. Just enough so to where I found good enjoyment out of it.
Well, I guess my question would be, as someone who doesn't particularly like these games, I look at something like Astroneer, and while those games are very different, Astroneer is basically basically this game, but without the Drake, right? Like, that game is all about creating your tethers and going out and finding resources and bringing them back to eventually leave a planet, you know? And I guess where I'm confused is why that game, it clicked with me and this one didn't. Maybe it was just a time thing, but as a Viva Pinata light, I didn't even find that aspect rewarding. But again, maybe I just didn't give it enough time. But
I would argue the answer for that would be, I think Astroneer had the mystery better. Like the same, like, because let's not forget, we hated the Astroneer the first 15-20 minutes or so, because it didn't explain anything at all, and we were building things just to build things. Whereas you have this game where it's kind of, it tells you what you're building, it tells you the purpose why you're building it. So the mystery is gone. So we're not chasing our tails or anything. We're just kind of like, we know what to do, we do it, now what's next? As opposed to Astroneer had that very, like, frustratingly good mechanic of, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know what I need to do. Like you say leave the planet, like it was like just leaving the planet. Like, no, leaving the planet was the game for us. Like, once we did that, we were done with the game, honestly. Like, we didn't care about other planets. Like, but in Drake Hollow, they tell you right off the bat, you need to get to the new Hollow zone. And to do that, you need to build these things. And these things do this, these Drake do this, et cetera, et cetera. There's no real finding yourself in this game. The game just kind of lays itself out and doesn't let you get lost in it per se. And I think that's what is kind of missing. I think it needs some more of that Astroneer, Don't Starve flair of, I don't know what this does, but I want to find out. I know what my goal is, but I have no idea how to get there.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's probably the big aspect of, even if I didn't like the Viva Pinata part, like, the game is very, very streamlined. Like, you will not, from what, and I don't know, maybe that's not fair, because I believe that their part of it is procedurally generated. I want to look at maybe it's not. I thought it was, but maybe it's not. But you, because of that Ubisoft Tower thing, it's like, sometimes it'll open up maybe two or three islands, but you're really only going to tackle this game in one particular way. Like the treadmill is really going to be the same for everyone. Whereas the treadmill and something, like you said, with some mystery behind it. And it doesn't have to be like completely void of any guidance like Astroneer, but the fact that I can't just sort of walk in one direction and discover something,
yeah,
is maybe that's where I'm just like, eh, like you play it for an hour and you really have seen the whole game. And that maybe that's probably being a little facetious, but you've seen the loop basically. And
no,
I guess after that hour, I was just kind of like, eh, like I feel like I've seen everything that I can.
No, that's absolutely fair. I think you do see the loop soon. Like it doesn't take a long time to get to that point. For me, I just enjoyed the loop, you know? So it's like, I got lost in the building of the tethers and seeing my map and seeing how I can just easily get from what took what feels like forever to get to the end of the map. Now I can get there in the blink of an eye, just rail all the way through. And it just kind of, I just really appreciate the aesthetic, the feel, the kind of flow of the game. And I just kind of fell into it. So you're absolutely right. It's definitely one of those games that you kind of need to know what you're going in. I mean, it's not one of those games. It's one of those genre of game where you either know you're kind of on board or not. And I will say this is not one of those survival kind of tower defense, etc. games that will change someone's mind. Like you're kind of already into it if you're going to get through this one.
Yeah, that's probably it. And I think the other part is the combat is I don't want to say boring.
Serviceable.
Yeah,
it's
right.
There.
It's there. Right. Exactly. It's there. It's not difficult. You're not going to be, you know, you're not playing Devil May Cry, you know. But it's, to me, it's very, you can kind of mash your way through it. So I think, yeah, I struggle to call it a bad game because I do not think it is bad by any means. But like you said, I don't think it's going to do anything to change anyone's mind about this style of game. So that's where I kind of, when it comes to this show and it comes to Game Pass or Pass, I think I'm going to have to defer to you a little bit. Like, I think that there is enough here that people that like these games will play it. But at the same time, it doesn't really do anything different. So people that might play these games might boot it up and just be like, I've done this before. What's the thing about this game? How are they doing it differently? Is it the art style? What is it? Is it the hollow and they're very weird looking heads? Like, or I guess they are basically heads, but what is it? Like, what is it about the game that's going to draw them in? But that's where I would defer to your judgment on Game Pass or Pass.
It all falls down to this. I mean, how's the saying goes? Heavy is the head that wears a crown.
You made that up.
No, did I? It's a saying like that or something. No. Look it up, guys. No. Sure it is.
If that's a saying, please let me know. I'm not Googling that, but I think he just made that up.
Text it to him. To us rather. Blah, 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 blah. I think the gameplay loop here is Here's why I'm going to say pass on. As I pass this on to a friend, because you can play this with a friend. I think this game gets a lot. This game amps up a bit, if you will. Once the difficulty starts to spike, once the resources start really becoming an issue, once the hollows start becoming an issue, once the game starts crashing down on you and you need some help and you got a buddy that can come to your village and help you out with the resources and whatnot, that's when the chaos and the fun factor really start to kick in. So I'm going to say, because of that aspect of the game, you should play this and pass it on to a friend. No ifs, ands, or buts. However, just know going forward, it is definitely one of those survival tower defense kind of ish games.
Well, there you go. It is cross-play as well. So you don't even have to have the same console. You can have PC, you can have Xbox, and you can live in harmony. So when it comes to Drake Hollow on Game Pass or Pass, pass it on to some friends, play it, have a good time, discover some weird-looking hot Drake, and have it, and just have a grand old time. But that is going to do it for this episode. You can email us. This is not 4LogPC. This is gpopfans@gmail.com. If you want to shoot us an email, let us know what you like, what you don't like. If you're listening to this and you haven't rated us yet, what are you waiting for, bro? What are you doing? Takes 15 seconds. So, and it helps a lot, like a lot. 574-651-9256 is the phone number if you want to call us and let us know. Maybe you're a voice person. Maybe you want to hear that enunciation in your voice. So you can really give us a question that's just going to blow our tiny little minds. When it comes to what we're going to be playing next, Microsoft did a thing. They did a thing where Outriders, the game from People Can Fly, makers of Bulletstorm and Gears of War Judgment, they're making a game, and it's going to be out day one on Game Pass, which is April 1st. And so I know we sort of tapped out on the every game that's day one. We're going to check out on Game Pass because Microsoft was like, well, what if they're all just day one? Didn't expect that. Thanks, Microsoft. But I think this is kind of an unprecedented moment. This is a third party, and we've had this before, but there was stuff like, what's the name of that game?
Gears of War.
No, the Fallout, like, one.
Oh.
Outer Worlds. The Outer Worlds, but technically Microsoft bought that studio kind of thing. So same thing with, like, Wasteland. So technically that was a third party game, but Microsoft ended up buying that studio. So it seems like they sort of took that. Since they were promising all their first-party studios, they sort of bit the bullet on this one. But this is different. This is Square Enix. Square Enix is publishing this. This is day one on Game Pass. So I think we're going to try to take some time aside and to really dive into that one quickly. So Outriders we'll be doing, but we also have Ghost of a Tale coming up. So the next episode after this one will be one of those, but very different games. So there you go. That's the future of this show. Again, you can email us, gpopfans@gmail.com. Can shoot us a voicemail, 574-651-9256. But when it comes to the Drake Hollow, not Drake's, Drake Hollow, play it with some friends. And we will see you next time with one of those two games.
Good day, sirs.